Good morning again. Please turn your Bibles to the book of 2 John, and that's where we will begin continuing our study of Bible authority. I appreciate your presence here this morning. We do have a number of visitors, and I appreciate you being here. Glad to meet you and happy to join in with you in a study of God's Word. Those who were here during our Bible class hour, remember that we studied beginning in Bible authority, talking about four different methods in which God has communicated His will unto mankind. And we're building upon that lesson in our lesson this hour. We already looked at Matthew 21 during the Bible class. In 2 John in verse 9, we read again, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And so again, we see that concept. God has drawn this circle, and here is what He has authorized, and we must abide in that teaching, in that doctrine, if we want to have God, that is, have a fellowship and have a relationship with Him. Now, we want to extend that lesson to talk about something else here. We've talked about direct commands, divine statements, approved examples, and unavoidable conclusions. There's another way that we can describe those different methods of authority, and that is to say that all authority is specified to a certain degree. And this is a key concept that we need to come to terms with and understand what we mean here. This is the way, again, that we communicate all the time in our everyday language. For example, let's just use some common everyday secular examples here. Let's say that my friend says to me, please go buy me a dog. Now, let's try to illustrate that. I have some illustrations up on the screen today, more than I usually do in a typical sermon. But let's think about the dog parties. Authorize me, go and buy me a dog. Now, just think about the fact that this authority is specific to a certain degree, to the degree of the word dog. The statement could have been more general than that. In other words, my friend could have said to me, please go buy me an animal. And that is a more inclusive, that is a more general or generic term. Or he could have backed it up even more than that. Just please go buy me anything. That's quite a friend. Just please go buy me anything and inclusive of anything that we would go out then and buy him. But he said dog. Well, it could have been more specific than just saying, please go buy me a dog. He could have said, for example, go buy me a Labrador Retriever, a specific type of dog, or even more specific than that, please go buy me a yellow Labrador Retriever. So the initial statement was specified to a certain degree when he said, please go buy me a dog. And here is the principle at work in this example. In order to do what is authorized, I need to comply to the degree at which things are specified. Does that make sense? So he said dog, I need to go buy a dog. That's what he authorized me to do. I am not at liberty to jump out to one of the bigger circles that include more things. I can't go buy him a cat. I can't go buy him a horse. That would fit in the circle of animal. But he was more specific than that, and so I need to go buy a dog. It is okay if I buy a yellow Labrador, if I buy a black poodle, if I buy a spotted mutt or something else, male or female, puppy or adult, because the authority didn't get that specific. So does that make sense? All authority specified to a certain degree. To use our running illustration from Bible class this morning, let's say Dad's teaching his son to mow the lawn. He tells him this, son, I want you to mow the lawn on Monday. Let's think about the Monday part. Mow the lawn Monday. That's the authority there. The statement could have been, the authority could have been more general than that. Son, I want you to mow this week, sometime this week. Or even more general than that, I want you to mow this month. Let's say the grass not growing too fast. Or it could have been more specific than that. Son, I want you to mow Monday evening. Or even more specific. Son, I want you to mow Monday evening starting at 6 p.m. And so the initial statement was specified to a certain degree, the degree of Monday. And again, we see that principle at work. In order to do what is authorized, the son needs to comply to the degree at which things are specified. Sometime Monday, he needs to go out and mow the lawn. He is not at liberty to get more general than that. But he is at liberty to choose specifics within the circle of Monday. Does that make sense? So in fact, he has to choose some specific time on Monday in order to mow the lawn and do that which is authorized. So can't mow on Sunday, can't mow on Tuesday, because the authority was more specific than that. But He can mow Monday morning. He can mow Monday afternoon. He can mow Monday evening. As long as it's inside the circle of Monday, he is still within that which is authorized. So notice, this is the way we communicate on a daily basis. We don't use technical terms and we don't diagram it out like this, but this is just the way we talk and we understand these things without going into detail about it. Think of a biblical example here and consider the instruction which God gave to Noah, Genesis 6 and verse 14, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. And here's a verse we often use to illustrate this when we're talking about generic and specific authority. So think about the gopher wood part of God's authority here. The statement could have been more general than that. God could have said, just go make the ark of wood. You know, cedar or pine or whatever else was around back then. He could have been even more generic than that and say, go make the ark out of anything that you can find. I don't know what he would have used back then, but just to illustrate, he could have been more specific than to say gopher wood. Let's just say, you know, I don't know, but let's say there was dark and light gopher wood. He could have said, use the dark kind of gopher wood that's around. Or let's, and I'm just kind of making this up to fill in the illustration, from the trees down in the valley. Go use the dark gopher wood from the trees down in the valley. You know, here's the specific trees I want you to use. God could have been that specific. But again, we see the point. All authority specified to a certain degree. Here for Noah, use gopher wood. Whatever fits in the circle of gopher wood is okay for Noah to use. And again, this principle, in order to do what was authorized, Noah needed to comply to the degree at which things were specified. He was not at liberty to get more general. He was not at liberty to jump back out to one of those bigger circles that included more things. But he was at liberty to choose a specific within that circle of gopher wood. Whether it's the dark wood down in the valley or the light wood up on the mountain or whatever, as long as it's gopher wood, he is doing that which is authorized. And so hopefully we can see this concept at work. All authority is specified to a certain degree. Look in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. That's the concept that we're getting at in this lesson. Let's try to notice a couple of applications of that as far as worshiping God and lining our lives and practice up with His will. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's make some applications here. Many of the differences and many of the disagreements that exist in the religious world today boil down to this topic, to the topic of Bible authority, and especially to this issue regarding specific authority and how we can figure out if something's authorized or not. So it's important for us to do our very best to be honest with this and to be consistent in our application of this principle. Let's consider the issue of musical worship, for example. Now, just by itself, this is, we could make one or two or a week's worth of lessons just out of this issue. This is a large issue, multifaceted issue. But let's just think about it in terms of authority now and simplify this by looking at what God has specifically authorized when it comes to musical worship. I confidently assert that God has specifically authorized singing when it comes to worshiping Him in a musical way. And that therefore, instrumental music is unauthorized. We can't find authority for it in the New Testament. And therefore, according to the principles we read in places like 2 John 9, it's wrong for us to do that. It's wrong for us to go outside and to not abide in what God has authorized. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Here we have one of the verses that talk about singing. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. There are 10 passages in the New Testament that mention people worshiping God musically. One of them is Ephesians 5:19. I have the others on the screen for you to read if you want to go home and read those later. But just notice, all throughout these 10 passages, it talks about just singing. Singing a hymn, singing a hymn, singing a hymn, sing to your name, sing in the spirit, and sing in the mind also. Singing, singing, sing your praise. Hebrews 13 talks about the fruit of our lips. And James 5, again, sing praises. So in every instance of people in the New Testament praising and worshiping God musically, it is a specific type of music. It is vocal music or unaccompanied or a cappella singing. All right, now let's take that. And again, we're kind of taking for granted that we can agree on that at this point. But let's just notice that's what God has authorized. And we can agree God has authorized singing. We can see that He has done so to the degree, and specified that to the degree of vocal music or singing. So let's thinking about singing and diagram it out like we've been doing. the New Testament authority could have been more general than that. And perhaps we could read through the New Testament and find authority for just any music as we worship God. Not specifically singing, just any kind of music. And if that were the case, then we would have authority for using instruments of music as we worship God. Or it could have been even more general than that. And God could have said in the New Testament, any sound that you make, you know, if you want to hum or clap your hands or anything, I will accept all of those things as worship to me, and I'll be pleased with that. But God said, and God authorized singing. He could have been more specific than that. For example, God could have said, you sing songs with three stanzas, not four or two. I want you to sing songs with three stanzas, or even more specific than that, three stanzas that have a four-part harmony. These are the kind of songs I want. So God could have gotten more general or more specific, but the New Testament authority is specific to a certain degree. And that is the degree of singing. In order to do what is authorized, we need to comply to the degree at which things are specified. We are not at liberty to get more general. We are not at liberty to go to one of the bigger circles that includes more things and think that we are doing that which is pleasing in God's sight. We simply don't have authority to do that, just like we've seen in these other examples that we've gone through. But we are at liberty to choose specifics within the circle of singing. In fact, we have to. We have to sing some way. And so we have to choose some specific inside the circle of singing. So we sing in order to worship God. We cannot worship God with just any music or with just any sound, because the authority is more specific than that. But we can choose whatever is inside of the circle of singing. Songs with three or four or five stanzas, songs with a chorus at the end or no chorus at the end, having a four-part harmony or not having a four-part harmony, the authority didn't get that specific. As long as it's in that circle of singing, then we know we're doing that which is authorized. Why don't we use instruments when we worship God? Well, again, there are several answers that we could give to that. The simple answer is because authority is nowhere included in the New Testament for using an instrument to worship God. That's the simple answer to the question. In other words, there's no divine statement that teaches us that God is pleased with worshiping God with instruments. There's no direct command where God ever told anyone to worship Him with instruments under the New Covenant. There's no example of people in the New Testament worshiping Him with instruments. And there's nothing in the New Testament that leads us to an unavoidable conclusion that instruments were or can be used in worship in a way that's pleasing to God. The New Testament does, as we put on the screen, include numerous passages which authorize singing. And since God specified what He wants in the realm of musical worship to the degree of singing, we have no right then to bump it back to a more general level that includes other kinds of music in addition to or instead of the singing which God has authorized. That's an application of the principle we're talking about here. Another application we can talk about is the work of local churches. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians and look in chapter 8, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's consider the issue of the work that a local church is authorized to do. And once again, this is a huge issue. This is multifaceted. You know, we could spend a whole week talking about this, and it has an interesting history. However, we can simplify the issue once again by simply looking at what God is specifically authorized for churches to do. And again, I confidently assert that God has specifically authorized three categories of work for local churches to do, and that therefore other kinds of work are unauthorized and not pleasing unto God, and that these things are wrong and things that we should not engage in. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice what we have here. God authorizing the church to provide for needy saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3 says this, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much favor, with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints." Here Paul is talking to these Corinthians about this generous gift of money that they're going to send to needy saints in chapter 9 and verse 1. He continues, he says, "For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints." And many other passages we could read to show that God has authorized the church to provide for needy saints. Acts 2, 4, 6, 11, and so forth. So that's one category of work that God's authorized the church to do. Number two, God has authorized the church to provide for worship and edification. Now, 1 Corinthians, I'm sure this time, chapter 14, And notice back in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. He's dealing with the Corinthians there and how they were worshiping. They had spiritual gifts back then that they were misusing. But in verse 3, notice the principle of edification that keeps popping up. He says, "One who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation." He says in verse 12, "So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church." In verse 17, "For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified." Verse 26, "What's the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." And other passages, again, we could read, but God has authorized local churches to provide for the meeting together, assembling together, and worshiping Him and edifying each other. And then the third category God's authorized is for the provision of preaching the gospel. Back in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians and verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11, Paul writes, "If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you?" In other words, he was preaching or had preached to Corinth, and he's writing to them saying, "I had the right to take money from you for the service of preaching that I gave you." And also down in verse 14, "So also the Lord directed those who proclaimed the gospel to get their living from the gospel." So here are the three categories in very brief summation that we have authority to do work in regard to, regarding the local church. So in every New Testament passage dealing with the work of New Testament churches, it will fall into one of these three categories. Now then, that's our background. Let's think about it as we diagram it out here. We see authority for a church to provide for needy saints, to provide for worship and edification, to provide for the preaching of the gospel. The New Testament authority could have been more general than that. For example, God could have made it so that the New Testament authorizes the church to engage in any good work. And if that were the case, then we could do things such as fight poverty with the money that we pull together as a church. And we could fight disease, and we could, you know, do all these other kinds of good works. Or God could have been even more generic, just do any work. Whether it's, you know, seen as good or humanitarian or not, we could have just had the authority to do anything, such as start trading in the stock market or open a business and sell things and get into that sort of work that's not considered benevolent or humanitarian necessarily. God could have opened it up to all that. But He specified these three categories. It could have gone more specific than that. Instead of having these three categories, preach, just provide for preaching, or even more specific, just local preaching. You know, you can pay George Slover to work here, but don't send money to a preacher that's working somewhere else. It could have been that specific. But notice again, the New Testament authority is specific to a certain degree, and it's specified to the degree of helping needy saints, providing for edification, providing for the preaching of the gospel. And in order to do that which is authorized, we need to comply to the degree at which things are specified. And again, we are not at liberty to jump back to a larger circle that includes more things. We need to stay with what God has specifically authorized. But we are at liberty to choose specifics within that circle. In fact, we have to in order to fulfill the command. So we need to use church money only to help needy saints and to assemble to worship Him and edify ourselves and to provide for the preaching of the gospel. And we cannot use church money for other good works such as fighting poverty and fighting disease and that sort of thing. That comes out of our own pocket, by the way, Luke 10:37. But as church money is what we're talking about, the authority is more specific than that. It is okay to support local preaching or foreign preaching. It's okay to support those who are needy saints, who are old or young or sick or healthy, to worship and edify on Sunday at 10:30 or at 11:45 or 2 o'clock or whatever. God didn't get that specific. As long as we're staying within what He has specifically authorized, we know that we're doing that which is right. So here's just a couple of examples. Musical worship, the work of the church, that show how important this concept of authority is, specific authority. Let's talk in a little more detail about choosing those specifics. I've been saying throughout our examples here that to whatever degree an action is specified, we are not at liberty to get more general, but we are at liberty to choose specifics within that circle. In fact, we must in order to take that action. And what I mean when I've been saying that is that many things fall within the circle of what is authorized without being explicitly stated and spelled out in the Bible. Let's go back to our examples again. So the friend tells me, please go buy me a dog. And so he authorizes me to buy a dog. Where is the authority to buy a black poodle? He did not say the words black poodle. He didn't explicitly state that. And so if I'm going to buy a yellow lab or a spotted mutt or a black poodle, somebody could say, well, he never said you could go buy a black poodle. And that's true. He didn't explicitly state that. But just think about it. When he says dog, that black poodle falls within the category of dog, falls within the circle of dog, and thus it falls within the authority given. In fact, I have to choose something, some kind of dog, if I'm going to fulfill the command. So let's say I choose a black poodle. So I've chosen a specific dog that's not explicitly stated by my friend, and yet I'm still within that authority because I'm still within the circle of that which is authorized. And we're cutting the grass. Cut the grass on Monday. Dad never mentioned noon. Where's the authority to mow at noon on Monday? He didn't say those words, right? Well, but think about it. It falls within Monday, and therefore we're doing that which is authorized. 10 a.m., 6 p.m., noon. I've got to choose some specific time Monday in order to do what I was told to do, to be within that authority. So let's say I choose noon. Well, of course, I'm within that which has been authorized. Well, where is the authority for songbooks? We can't read a verse in the Bible that mentions explicitly purchasing and using songbooks, right? Now, here's something that will probably come up as we discuss the Bible with our friends. And this it may be a point they make in that discussion. Well, you say everything needs to be authorized. Where's your authority for songbooks? You can't point to verses that mention songbooks. And that's true. And that's a very good and that's a legitimate question for them to ask. And an understanding of general and specific authority is a great answer to that question. God authorized us to sing. How are we going to do that? We have to choose some method of singing, right? Now, we might choose different methods. We might memorize like 10 songs, and we just use those songs. And I don't know how to memorize them to begin with, but we could use that method and therefore try to eliminate the need for books, or we might sing by lining. I've never seen that. I've just read about that, where the song leader says the first stanza, and then everyone sings together that same little song. And then he says the second stanza, and then we all sing together. Or we might use songbooks, where we all have the words in front of us, and we can all go together. So where's the authority for any of those? Memorizing, or lining, or using songbooks, and so forth. Notice that no matter which of those methods you choose, you could come back and say, well, there's no authority. That's not explicitly stated in Scripture, which would be true. But again, as long as it's in the circle of singing, of course we've stayed within that which is authorized. The truth is, the Bible does not specifically mention songbooks, but a thing does not have to be specifically mentioned in order to be authorized. So we're singing by songbooks, and that falls within the circle of singing, and therefore it is included in the authority that we have to sing. All of those methods do. So I must choose one of them in order to fulfill the command. And when I've done that, I've chosen something within the circle of what is authorized. Well, where is the authority for us to acquire and to use a building? Church building. The Bible does not mention a church building. But the Bible does mention assembly, although it does not mention a church having the building. And again, this might be a point that comes up in a discussion with our religious friends. And they say, well, you say you have to have authority for everything you do. Where's your authority for a church building? And again, that's a great question. And understanding specific and general authority is a great answer to that. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 26, when you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a, and so forth. And so we know that churches can't assemble. Acts 20 and verse 7, the Christians there gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some. So we know we have authority to assemble together as a church. How are we going to do that? Where are we going to do that? In most of the cases that we could mention, we could go back and say, well, there's not a specific, explicit statement about that in the Bible. We might meet under a tree. We might meet in a garage. We might build a building in which to meet. But the truth is that the Bible does not mention a church having a building back then. But the thing does not have to be specifically mentioned in order to be authorized. again, think about it. Since assembling in a building falls within the circle of assembling, then it is included in the authority to assemble. All of these locations or others we could think of fall within the circle of assembling, and thus it falls within the authority. And again, I have to choose some place where we're going to assemble. And notice that I've chosen something within the circle of what is authorized. You know, if we can get a good grasp of how authority is specified to a certain degree, it will answer many of these questions that come up. These are legitimate things that we need to think about, and we need to be following God's principles in regard to. So it's going to answer these things about what is and is not authorized. PowerPoint. Where's the authority for PowerPoint? Right? Well, obviously you can't find a verse about PowerPoint in the Bible, but this is a specific tool, a specific method by which we can preach and teach the gospel, which is authorized. So it's authorized even though it's not mentioned in the Bible. We're just using it as a tool to preach. If we use it for entertainment, that's something different now. We're using it as a tool to preach. The church can buy time on television, buy time on the radio as another specific method of preaching the gospel. A church can pass plates around or baskets, as you do here, to collect the money. Where's the specific mention of that in the Scripture? Well, we don't have that. But we have authority to collect money, 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. We need some specific method of doing it. A church could use Western Union to send money in support of a preacher who's living somewhere else. That's a specific method of doing what's authorized in Philippians 4:16 and other places of sending money to a preacher in another location. We can use plastic cups to distribute the fruit of the vine used in the Lord's Supper. That's just a specific method used for taking that element of the Lord's Supper, which is an authorized activity for a local church to do. 1 Corinthians 11:28. We have to distribute it somehow. On and on and on we could go of examples of specific things we do that fall within these general things which are authorized. But again, we have to stay within the circle of that which is authorized, that authorized activity, all authority specified to some degree. Well, one other principle I want to mention before we leave, and that is that we cannot violate some other Bible principle as we're choosing a specific. Back in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus here is reprimanding these Pharisees again. In verse 4, he says, "For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or mother. And by this, you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition." So notice what they're doing. Trying to find a loophole. You know, oh, we're giving our money supposedly to God to the extent that we don't have any money left over for mom and dad. They're just finding a loophole. That's what they're claiming to do. But notice what Jesus says. He says, you can't do that. You can't try to fulfill one command and then break another command by fulfilling this first one here. And so that's the point here. We can't violate some other Bible principle as we are trying to find a specific within the authority. So there's authority for songbooks, for example, but not if we steal the books. That's a good example. Obviously, we've broken some other Bible command. Stealing is sin. 1 Peter 4:15. We can't violate 1 Peter 4:15 in order to fulfill the command in Ephesians 5:19. There's authority to support a preacher, but not if he's preaching error. Now we're violating some other Bible command. Titus 1:11 says men like that need to be silenced. Obviously, then it would be wrong to support him as he's preaching error. Everybody makes mistakes. I'm talking about somebody preaching error. Obviously, it'd be wrong for us to do that. Well, this exception to the rule might be an obvious point, but I wanted to be clear that any time we're choosing a specific action which is authorized, it always must be within the realm of those things which are pleasing to God. I recognize we've gone through a lot in a short period of time, and that it takes time for these things to sink in, and that I'm not necessarily the best one to explain these things. But let us accept the authority of God's Scripture. And as we've seen this morning, there are these four categories: direct commands, divine statements, approved examples, unavoidable conclusions, and also that all of this authority is specified to a certain degree. And in order to do what's authorized, we need to comply to the degree at which things are specified. Well, as we've been saying this weekend, God is very specific regarding what we must do to be saved. It takes faith, Hebrews 11:6. It takes us confessing that faith, Romans 10:9 and 10. It takes repentance of our sins, Acts 17:30. and baptism to be saved, 1 Peter 3:21, and to begin that walk with God. If there's some need that you have and you want to take care of that spiritual need in a public way, please come forward as we stand and sing to encourage you.